This is Liz Colburn, host of Invited. Thanks for checking out the following podcast on Public House Media. Hey everyone, it's Selena, and you're listening to Stories from Planet Earth. And today we have on Jyotsna.
Hey!
Hey, thank you so much for hopping on the pod today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
I'm excited. I'm so glad that you agreed to be on.
Me too. You literally made my wish come true real quick.
Yeah, so I always start off by asking my guests, where are you from and where are you currently based?
Okay, so originally I was born in India. I was born in Coimbatore, India, and now I live in Denver, Colorado. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, and you've been in Denver pretty much almost your entire life.
Yeah, I've been here since I was about 2 years old. Like, we came from India to, initially we were in Pleasanton, California, and then we were there for like 8 months and then came to Denver right before I turned 2 years old. And we thought we were going to go back to India. And next thing you know, we are in America for the rest of our lives.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Why did they end up staying?
It was just because of Dad's job. He just kept getting extensions on his job contracts and all that at that time. And next thing you know, everything just became more permanent.
Gotcha, gotcha. So initially he got a job in California and then his job took him to Colorado.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. IT boom in the 90s. Woo.
So how has your family liked living in Colorado? Clearly they must enjoy it slightly if they're still here.
Yeah, I mean, like, they've definitely acclimated, needless to say. But yeah, no, they like it here. And especially, you know, we have our, you know, good group of Indian friends, and like, they have their community. And I think that really like helped everything and just like made them feel more at home, if you will.
Gotcha. So is there a pretty strong Indian influence around Denver?
Yeah, especially because my parents are in Highlands Ranch, and there's a lot of our close friends around there, and there's so many people around Denver and Aurora, and it's so crazy to see the amount of changes, obviously, over the years, but yeah, like all of our Indian friends are kind of everywhere.
Yeah, it's true though. Denver, I'm sure, has changed so much in your lifetime. Like, you've pretty much seen it expand from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, it's always interesting to see that we saw, I mean, it was like so much development everywhere, because a lot of the places were just like, you know, super, it was just plain flat land, if you will, and then now it's all houses everywhere.
Yeah, that's wild. It's crazy. I feel like Colorado in general has just grown so much in the last decade.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm just like, this place did not exist. And I can like pinpoint now a little bit more and more. I'm like, this never existed before. And I don't know if I've just been gone too long or something.
Yeah. Right. But I feel like it's everywhere. Like, even the Springs where I'm from has just changed so much. Even while I was in college, I was just gone for 4 or 5 years and I moved back and everything was completely revamped, it seemed. Like, it was almost a different city.
I definitely felt that too. Even like going back to Highlands Ranch after college, because I was staying with my parents for a couple of years. And it was like, there's more houses now. It's not much of like, here's some hills and it's cool. It's all like, just so much housing development everywhere.
Yeah. So Moving on a little bit, I'm wondering, how has your experience been through COVID?
You know, COVID was an interesting time because, like, I moved out of my parents' place in January of this year, and then, like, 2 months later, we're in COVID. So I'm like, well, that's one way to get settled into your apartment.
Right, yeah. Get really, really settled.
Really settled. And I'm just like, well, I mean, I love my apartment. Like, don't get me wrong. It's a great place and, you know, great apartment complex and stuff. Like, thank goodness for the amenities. But it's been kind of a wild ride, especially, like, mentally, I would say. I mean, I am thankful that, you know, I was able to still work during all of this, just working from home all the time and all of that. But the fact that that's all I've really been doing, and then, you know, you're still in the same place to chill out, makes it a little difficult to kind of keep up, like, the positive vibes.
Yeah, right. Working from home is something a lot of people have been trying to figure out in the past few months. I feel like it's not as cut and dry as you might think.
Yeah, and it's always interesting because, like, a lot of my other coworkers, they were like, oh, I love working from home because nobody's, like, bothering them. They can get so much done. And initially, I was like that. And then I had, like, a solid, like, 2 month, like, beginning where I was like, oh, I'm going to get so much stuff done. It's going to be great. And then come, like, May and everything, and I'm like, I'm done. I want to go outside.
I know.
And now it's like trying to go, you know, at least on a walk around the neighborhood is like the biggest deal ever.
Yeah, no kidding. It's a game changer. Are you still working remotely right now?
Yeah, I am now mostly working from home. I did start to go to the office maybe like twice a week, and it was really nice. They moved us, you know, from our cubicles to like actual offices, which I'm like, that's a cool upgrade. And then now we all have our own space, but now it's like they want us to wear masks like in the offices itself. And I'm just like, I'd rather not. I'd rather just be able to breathe in my apartment, if that's the case, and just do, like, online meetings, and it's okay.
Yeah, right. So, like, if they're really going to have you take all of those precautions, I think it would be nicer to just continue doing remote working.
Exactly. It would just be so much better, because then you don't need to have a mask on your face for, like, hours of the day.
Yeah, definitely. That could be a challenging thing to deal with. What are you doing for work right now?
So I currently work at an oil and gas company in downtown, and I am an operations tech there.
And what does that entail?
So I overlook the reporting to the state and the federal governments of, like, what we're producing and all of that. So I actually have to talk with a lot of the representatives over there. I say representatives, it's not like White House kind of stuff, I promise. Mm-hmm. But it's just the people that work there, needless to say. And I also develop reporting tools and other kind of useful tools that can help us analyze all of our data for the production engineers.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So yeah. That's interesting. I feel like that's an interesting industry to be in right now, considering, like, the debate on, like, energy and where we should be, you know,
putting our resources. Oh, yeah. It's actually interesting even for me to tell people that I work in the oil and gas industry, because I didn't really realize how passionate people actually felt about the industry till I was in it. And then everybody's talking about, you know, how the state is honestly reacting to the industry and, you know, how there's all these hearings and all sorts of stuff. And I'm just like, never heard of any of this going on. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's been an interesting ride, though, because I have zero oil and gas background.
Right. Yeah. So you're just kind of learning on the job.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting industry to be working in, I think, right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would be super down for natural energy and, you know, things that are that would help our environment, of course. But I don't think we're there yet to where we can rely on something like that just yet. And that's something that a lot of people don't realize. It's like, you know, even though you're in the oil and gas industry, doesn't mean that you're completely against, you know, something so helpful for the environment too, you know?
Right, exactly.
So
yeah, you gotta have a job, right?
that's the thing. I'm like, I'm just happy to have a job right now.
Right. So I wanted to move on a little bit and ask you how your experience being bicultural in the U.S. has been, because you have strong ties to your Indian culture, but you're also, you've also grown up in the States pretty much your whole life. So how's that been for you?
Oh man, that is, you want to know the whole story?
Tell me everything.
I am like, I will try to sum up 26 years worth of some stuff. Let's see. Well, it's been an interesting ride, of course. It's always a roller coaster, that's for sure. Because, you know, when we come here, obviously we don't notice a lot of things, you know, in our society with like the way people actually do treat us or whatever. And it wasn't until I was probably in high school when I really started to realize like more and more about like, you know, what my own culture is about and like what I've grown up in and what I've sort of started to observe, I guess, about the people around me. And that's when I'm like, oh, wow, there's a lot of issues here. Right. So it was definitely like a confusing time for sure, because you're kind of like, I want to, you know, keep up the traditions and keep up with my culture, with my family, and everything, but I also see like things about the American culture that I would be, you know, that I also love, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I just didn't know sometimes like how to act in particular. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, there's some, like my parents would be like, no, this is not okay to act like this, because that's what they've grown up with. When I see that that same kind of behavior could be okay in the American culture. So then you're like, well, what do I do?
Yeah.
So it was definitely like, I think the biggest thing about this whole journey with kind of being in the middle of two cultures is, I mean, it's what my mom even told me, just take the good from both of them, you know, and kind of, that's like the best way to figure out what I want to do and like how I want to live almost, so that I don't feel like I'm just letting my own culture and like my family down, as well as I can live my life comfortably here.
Yeah. So what has been a particularly challenging thing to overcome when it came to finding that middle ground?
I think the biggest thing was, well, honestly, for me, I mean, high school was really hard for sure. Like that was when I felt that there was the most amount of like culture clash, where, you know, parents and family would want to kind of keep you as close to their culture and their values and everything as much as they can. In the meantime, I'm also a teenager going to like in America.
Yeah.
So like we see all these things, and I think the biggest challenge was almost to kind of make sure that everybody's okay and everybody knows that, you know, we're just not going to just leave a culture behind just because we're here. If that makes sense. I think it was just hard for that sort of transition to be like, no, we can do a little bit of both instead of, you know, just sticking to the Indian values and everything. And I see that, you know, I don't really stand by all of them, and that's okay. I think feeling okay about, you know, I am not going to be your typical Indian girl is okay. And I think that was like the biggest challenge for me, just to kind of transition and accept that.
How has it been navigating the different dating norms of the two cultures?
Oh, that's been rough. I'm just going to be honest. It's like, that is so rough, honestly, because I mean, so my parents, like, I love them dearly. Don't get me wrong. It's just that, you know, they can be fairly conservative about the whole dating thing. Like, my parents had an arranged marriage, so that's what they know and very comfortable with, and they see that it works and all of that. So dating wise was just almost just like, take it out of your brain. But then, you know, I was surrounded by people who would talk about relationships and, like, you know, they kind of tried it out, and if it didn't work out, it was okay. And they figured out what they really liked and what they don't want and all of that. And that whole concept kind of blew my mind when I first learned about it. And cause, you know, with the American side, I would say it's really cool that you have the ability to be like, it's okay if a relationship didn't work out, you know, there's not judgment because a relationship didn't work out. And with the Indian one, it's like, a little bit more, there's still a bit of a stigma where it's like, oh, if a relationship doesn't work out, you know, there's a bit of judgment. And it used to be more on just the girl than it would be on the dude. But now in the modern dating world, you know, people are starting to kind of almost follow the Western dating norm a little bit, where people have that choice. They're like, you know, I've dated a few people and it didn't work out and it's okay. So it's been pretty rough, because growing up, I'm like, I don't want to deal with the uphill battle of having to defend the reason why I want to be in a relationship and why it didn't work out and all of that. Because my parents especially are like, I don't want to, you know, there's no point in dating because you're not going to get married to the person. And I'm like, but I don't know what I want and I don't know what I don't want.
Yeah, right. And that's two completely different methods to, you know, going forward with a relationship or like finding a relationship. So I'm sure that's definitely an interesting one to juggle.
Oh, yeah. And I think the most I ever had to really juggle and really think about, you know, is this person really worth kind of going through all of the battles or all of the whatever, I guess, like that comes with almost baggage that would come with it, or should I just, you know, spare them and myself that sort of pain?
Yeah,
which is so crazy to me to even like think about it like that, but it kind of is the reality sometimes.
Yeah, thanks for sharing a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, of course.
So do you ever get to go back and visit India often? I mean, obviously when it's not the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, no, we used to just go like every couple years, and I would go for my summers. So we would be there for almost 3 months.
Wow, yeah. And you do speak the language, right?
I do, yeah, yeah. But you can even ask like Krithika, like she's heard my Tamil, and it's like she laughs at it sometimes. But then of course whenever we're like, you know, in the momentum of it all, it sounds really good in my book.
Yeah, you can get by.
Yeah, I'm just like, this is okay. But if I spoke Tamil the way I usually do in India, they would easily pick me out and be like, you're a foreigner. And I'd be like, but you understood what I said.
And that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. So what do you think, has there been anything that's been really cool about having two cultures?
I think the coolest thing is like, honestly, just to be able to embrace like the beauty of each of the cultures kind of. Like I love being a part of the Indian culture because it is so vibrant and it's so much fun. But, you know, like, let me just tell you that Indians love to party, you know, Selena.
I've seen it firsthand.
Exactly. So that's, and I'm just kind of like, you know, this is a vibrance. Yeah. No, but it's not just that. It's just like, I mean, so I'd done Bharatanatyam, which is the Indian classical dancing, and I did that for almost 20 years. And I think that was the thing that kept me so close to the culture. And like, it was just so cool to be a part of it and learn so much more within my own culture and my own identity and everything. It was really, really awesome. And then, you know, of course, just like living in America, just to be able to, you know, live my own culture in America, to me is awesome.
Yeah, definitely. So I have a few more questions for you. I'm wondering, do you have a piece of advice that you think has really affected your life in a positive way?
Yeah, I guess my own, well, I don't, it's, I thought of this on my own. For all I care, some other person already did. But the thing is, it actually kind of has to do with my moon tattoo that I have on my arm. Which is the fact that everything in life is just a phase, and that, you know, you're not just going, it always has a way of throwing all these curveballs at you and everything, but, you know, you kind of just roll with the punches and it usually ends up okay, which is like the best thing I think I've ever heard, because, having not so many expectations really helps everything, not just to avoid disappointment, but just, you know, kind of that you roll with the punches and it just sort of ends up being okay. And I've decided just to be like, this is how I'm gonna not control the things that I know I can't control, so it's okay.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely wonderful advice, especially in a time like now where things are really up in the air for a lot of us. I think it's important to just remember that it's a season and that we'll get through it somehow or the other.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, I think during all of this, everybody, including myself, you know, we just almost have to remind ourselves that what can we control during this time and what can't we? And the things that we can't, you kind of just like make the best of everything, like no matter what it is. And that way it doesn't have to bring you down and you don't have to be like feeling like you're stuck in it, you know? Mm-hmm. That's like the biggest thing, I think, is for everyone to not feel like they're so stuck in all of this. It's just, we'll figure out another way, you know?
Yeah.
To get through it all.
Yeah. I like that you mentioned trying to let go of the things we can't control, because I feel like a lot of the time that's where so much unnecessary stress comes from, when we grip on too tight to the things that we can't really change. I think it's important. Yeah, it's important to do your part where you can to change things in your own life or your community, but there are just some things that we can't control. So it's important to not put the burden of that on us, I think.
Yeah, no, I think, and that's the biggest thing that I've learned, is just like trying not to put it all on yourself.
Mm-hmm,
and all the stress. I do remember one piece of advice that I was given, which is, this was like freshman year of college, and it was actually one of the RAs that I used to always like talk with about everything. He was like, you know, life is like a target. Like, you have your bullseye, which is like your core beliefs, like that will never change, you know, those are the things that really do make you you. And then you have the next ring, which is like, you know, the things that you aspire to be, you're trying to become this kind of person. It's like your own kind of goals in life and ambitions and dreams and all of that. And then you have the ring after that, and that's the outermost, and that's like all the little stresses in life. And, you know, those little stresses will always linger around, but you can decide what you want to do with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, but whatever you decide as those little stresses or things that you personally should not have to really deal with, then, you know, you always have your core and what, like, who you want to become, you know?
Yeah.
And that was really cool advice. I was really like, I can't believe I still remember that. That was so long ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the thing about really great advice. It can stick with us for our entire lives, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Well, I think that is pretty much all I had for you. Do you have anything that you'd like to shout out?
Shout out to you, and you're doing an amazing job on this podcast, by the way. Like, I love the conversations you have with people. It is so exciting and insightful, and I love it.
Thank you.
And I guess I could say shout out to my mom and dad. I love them.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with me today and chatting.
Thank you so much for everything. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Stories from Planet Earth. If you have some time, leave us a review and be sure to subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts. Find us on Instagram at SFPE Podcasts. I'll talk to you next week.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.